Welcome to Matrix Moments. This is Saloni and I'm here with Avnish Bajaj, Founder and Managing Director at Matrix Partners India. In today's episode, we talk about go-to-market strategy for startups, also known as GTM, and why we think this can shape the fate of a company. Avnish, what does GTM mean to you? What is its interplay with PMF? And would you say that PMF is the most important element in a startup success story?
Yeah, great to be back, Saloni. I know the viewers won't know it, but this one is after some time that we had a break in between.
Right.
So PMF is far more important than GTM. PMF determines the success or failure of a startup, but GTM is your insurance strategy. Maybe insurance strategy is the wrong word, but GTM is your risk management strategy towards PMF. So what does that mean? Businesses are started to get PMF. You are trying to attack a certain market. You believe there's a gap in that market. You're building a product and you're hoping that product will fit with the market. That's the PMF. But that's far harder than it appears. First you have to develop the product. Then you have to aim it at the right place in the market, which is the GTM.
Right.
And then hopefully the fit happens. So, you know, we've been talking about in another episode, we've spoken also about the fact that as Matrix, we are investing behind a lot of repeat entrepreneurs. And if you were to ask me, the biggest difference I have seen between repeat entrepreneurs and first-time entrepreneurs mm-hmm. is that both are taking PMF risk. But the repeat entrepreneurs are typically saying, failure is not an option. And I don't want to take PMF risk, and therefore here's my GTM. And the thought process is very different. Whereas the first stage entrepreneur will say, "Main kar dunga, I'll make this happen," and then it's a little bit more of a punt. Both work, by the way. And I believe the first time person may hit something very, very large with that approach also. So GTM is essentially, in a sports analogy, PMF is your goal. GTM is that entire play that is happening to get to that goal. Who's passing the ball where, and offense, defense, where are you, how are you passing the ball between various phases of the business. I believe entrepreneurs don't think through GTM enough. If you think through GTM enough, it can accelerate your PMF on the upside, or it can also give you warning signals very early on the downside. Either which way, it is helping you with your goal of reaching a product market fit. Because if I am delusional and I believe that I am able to, there is this term called, or often smart VCs will ask entrepreneurs, how will you drive a wedge in the market? There is a market. Most of the time, the market is getting catered to in some way or the other. And the question for you as an entrepreneur and the company is what is called, how will you drive the wedge? What is going to be your differentiator? Let's say I have a thesis on it, that I'm going to do XYZ and this is what I'm catering to, and I go and try it and it doesn't work. I have to rethink my business idea, right? So I think this is a very critical part that can change. I don't know if it can change the destiny of a business. Sometimes it can, and we'll talk about it in the context of some success stories. But it can definitely, as an entrepreneur, either accelerate your PMF, or it can give you very early warning signals that can again accelerate your PMF because you can iterate faster. What are the elements of a GTM? So, you know, it's a more fancy term. And we'll talk about enterprise versus consumer, but net-net, it's about your marketing approach. And anybody who's done an MBA, in the olden, earlier world of an MBA, there used to be four P's. Your price, your placement, your promotion, and your product, right? GTM is a fancier way of defining it in the internet world. There is a lot of literature online, which some of the links you should share on this on the transcript, which talks about what elements people add to it. Sometimes people add people to it.
Right.
Promotion may be called by a different name, but net-net, that's what it is. How are you positioning your product in the market? You have to make pricing decisions. You have to figure out How exactly are you going to promote your product? By the way, what exactly is your product? You have to make that also. So I think it's a fancier term. It's a similar thing as marketing, but a little bit more in a digital age. And we'll talk about some of that because it gives you a lot more tools that didn't used to exist before. One of my pet points on this is what is called push versus pull products. Or often entrepreneurs probably get irritated when I say, is it a vitamin or a painkiller? Vitamin is a nice to have. Painkiller is a must have. So that generally applies to the product. But it can also apply to a GTM. Can you make me aware of a pain that I have that I may not be aware that you are the solution for? This is another term we use internally about inside-out approach versus outside-in approach, right? And my view is no matter what your GTM, no matter how you are approaching your business, this vitamin versus painkiller / push versus pull product, big, big determinant of success. And outside-in versus inside-out, outside-in is a big determinant of success. So if there are avoidable mistakes, the avoidable mistakes are to be inside out. I think the customer needs this. Unless you are Steve Jobs and you can get away because you can execute by saying, I'm not going to ask the customer what they need because I'll show them what they want. Right? If you're Steve Jobs, you'll get away with it. If you're not, then there is a much more scientific approach. Analyze your customers or consumers' pain points. And then think about how best to position. And therefore, that is the outside-in approach.
You mentioned enterprise versus consumer. And how would you say that GTM differs for these kinds of businesses? Should an entrepreneur think about his GTM or her GTM strategy differently for an enterprise and software?
Yeah. So look, strategically speaking, the answer is no. Tactically speaking, the answer is yes. So why is it no strategically speaking? It is because ultimately the purpose is the same. I am trying to find a fit for my product in the market. Whether I'm an enterprise company or a consumer company, I'm trying to do the same, right? So strategically, it's the same thing. Mm-hmm. Tactically, it is apples and oranges, very different. And one of the articles that I think you're going to include, it talks about sales versus marketing approach. Typically in enterprise, it's more B2B. It's more sales-led. And in consumer, it is more marketing-led. Mm-hmm. And that has been the historical axes along which they are very, very different. So therefore, you'll have more inside sales or salespeople-driven GTM, and you'll have more of the consumer-driven. So that's the theory of it. The beauty of the last 5, 7, 10 years is these things are converging. So there is something called the consumerization of the enterprise. And also this is largely led because everything is becoming digital. So in the digital world, even an enterprise company can acquire all their consumers digitally. In a digital world, I can have a consumer company. For the first time, the product company has a direct connect with the customer. Earlier, used to be reliant on digital channels, not digital, physical channels, right? I can, just like an enterprise company can call their customers and say, are you happy or not, and the NPS. Now, a consumer company can call their customers live and say, are you happy or not? So both the worlds are converging. And we'll get into some of the case studies, but I think this is critical. In today's world, my GTM, if I was becoming an entrepreneur again, would include the best practices from the enterprise side of GTM. I just give you an example, inside sales, key account management, hunting versus farming. There's a bunch of stuff. There is a plethora of knowledge there. I would combine the best practices of that into a consumer company and the best practices of consumer into an enterprise company where, by the way, there's a concept called cohorts and retention of revenue, which has all actually come from enterprises towards consumer when you started being able to track your consumers directly. And I would combine and I would bring the best practices of consumer, which is around brand and sometimes you've seen that you subsidize your customers and then you capture them because you're going to make money over them with them over a long period of time. I would bring the best of both worlds together.
Are there any examples of like super successful GTM strategies that you've seen where it's literally changed the fate or the destiny of a company?
Yeah, I think there are a bunch of them. I do think there is this CB Insights report which talks about great D2C companies, which is direct to consumer companies, that if we can include a link or maybe reference them. Sure. Because I think it has like 14 case studies which are generally on the consumer side. But let's talk about the ultimate one that I remember from the first dot-com days, PayPal. So PayPal, you would not know. I don't know. Yeah, I think you were born then. But the PayPal in 1999 was the first company that said you can pay each other. And the paying each other was that PayPal would give you $5 to send to another person if you were to send it to them. Now, guess what? I would get an email saying, Saloni has sent you $5. Click on this link to receive it. Now, all of that, by the way, is phishing and spam emails. This was real. Who wouldn't do it? It was the ultimate viral product probably of the last 2-3 decades. Just caught fire. Today, it's become more normal for people to do these. Now, it's become referral program and this and that. This was just outstanding. So, everybody would click on the link. And then, they would get another $5 to be able to invite somebody else. And this thing just caught fire. Now, that's a go-to-market strategy. That is not the product-market fit. The product-market fit that PayPal had was to pay each other and pay on the internet, which was a massive, in those days, a massive value addition. So you had this outstanding go-to-market strategy sitting on top of an outstanding product-market fit. And that's why that company became, in those days, becoming a billion, billion and a half worth within no time was just outstanding. By the way, they had another element of GTM, which was they became the, because eBay was the first C2C kind of site, they became the payment option of choice for those C2C sellers. Again, consumer to consumer. So next thing you know, they had these two viral things firing and it became a very valuable company very early. Then eBay bought, then eBay spun them out and I think they're worth $120+ billion now. In the current world, speaking about consumerization of enterprise, I think Slack has done a great job. The core product, it's a team collaboration product. Now it's a public company. The core product, this whole freemium strategy is something enterprise, which is free to start and then you have to pay. It's everywhere. It's on the apps. You will see this strategy is being followed. It's a GTM strategy. The free gets you hooked. Now, guess what? Where does it come from? Way back in the days, the consumer product companies and the Cokes and the Pepsis or even the shampoo companies, they used to give you trial packages. This is the internet view of the trial package, right? So, free to try and then you pay. And Slack has taken this consumerization to the next level because again, it's a collaboration tool. Now, if I want to collaborate with you, you'll also have to download Slack. But it's free. Mm-hmm. Zoom video has done an outstanding job. 45 minutes free, then you have to pay. So, I think these are great examples of enterprise companies with great go-to-market strategies which are now being copied. There is a whole genre in this report that I referred to. One of other great GTM strategies, one of which has been interestingly, like Robinhood is a US-based trading personal wealth management site, which started by saying free trades, but also managed to create a lot of, hype is the wrong word, but a lot of curiosity before they launched. I think they had a few 100,000 people in the waiting list by saying these are the benefits you will get. Now imagine you are a direct-to-consumer site. What is your biggest worry? You won't get the consumers. Before they launch, these guys have so many consumers. And this report covers a lot of these kind of case studies where you're offering something, there's gamification. Now, gamification is something where you are creating some kind of contest between people. So people share stuff with each other and therefore they start. So there are a bunch of these things. And I think people should think much more deeply because digital GTM strategies have gone to the next level and are a very core part of success. In our portfolio, we have a company called Country Delight. And it's a milk company on the face of it, mass premium. But they have done a great GTM strategy. So first of all, they have replaced the milkman, not replaced either their partner, but it's a fancier milkman, and it's a ultimately a basket of fresh goods, starting with milk. Their GTM first, they use the autowalas who are free between 5 and 7 a.m. to replace the milkman. I thought that was brilliant. Second, they give you 5 days free again. So combination of digital, and then of course they have a lot, but the product still has to be great. Excellent GTM cannot solve for a bad PMF. An excellent GTM or a good GTM can explode an excellent PMF or a good PMF, right? So they have a great product, but I think there were a lot of fancy things and thoughtful things done around the GTM that help accelerate that business.
Interesting. Thanks, Avnish.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. And you can find the transcribed version of this podcast on matrixpartners.in. You can also follow us on Twitter and LinkedIn for more updates.